If you're looking to boost your communication skills, build better habits, and connect with people on a different level, then the podcast is for you. It's a place where connection and communication meet coaching. I'm your host, Podge, a seasoned expert in health, leadership, and psychology. Each week, we'll dive into topics related to health with a keen focus on the art of building meaningful relationships through insightful interviews and practical advice. I believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and by learning from each other, we can not only enhance our own lives, but also strengthen our communities and how we connect with others. So I invite you to join me on this journey of connection and growth. Let's get started. Welcome to today's episode, again, where connection and community meet coaching. For those new to the platform, Noom Vibe is the new free wellness community app from Noom. At the Noom Vibe community, we're all on a shared mission to live better, longer lives. And Noom Vibe is actually the app that pays you to live better. And you can earn rewards from our step tracker and build healthy habits like our workouts, our water intake, meditation. It allows you to connect with a wonderful community and allows you to share your positive thoughts. You also get the chance to interact and learn from Noom coaches and other experts on the platform. And remember, you can catch these episodes live as you're doing now on Noom Vibe, where you can contribute in real time and even join in as a guest. So if you are listening to this recording on Spotify or YouTube, I do encourage you to download the Noom Vibe app to join us live and to support us in building out this wonderful community. Today, we are diving into the concept of the third space. And this concept was actually brought to me by a guest on yesterday's episode, which you can always go back and listen to by clicking on my name, clicking on talks, and just scrolling down to the one right before this. But the concept of the third space, we're going to speak about that today, and we're going to speak about how it plays a really important role in helping us to foster community and wellness, which of course is the topic that we are currently discussing here on our podcast series. So we'll discuss what third spaces are, their importance, and how they contribute to individual well-being. I'm hopeful we'll also get to hear from you all as guests. Again, feel free to click the guest button to the right of my name if you do want to come on and share your thoughts and ideas around this topic, or just to say hi to our lovely community. So we'd love to hear from you and get your insights and how we can help to continue to create and sustain really, really good social environments. But first, let's kind of set the stage regarding our topic. Did you know that third spaces can be sanctuaries from the hustle and bustle of our everyday life? So they can provide a place where we can connect with others, we can relax with others, and we can thrive with others. Stay with us as we explore how these spaces can transform our well-being and build stronger communities. In section one, we're going to just talk about understanding the third space. And let's start maybe with a definition of what it means when I do say the third space. So the third space is a social environment distinct from home, which is your first space, and work, which is your second space. So where individuals can come together, they can socialize and build community in a relaxed, informal setting. And this concept was popularized by sociologist Ray Oldenburg in his book, The Great Good Place. So essentially what it's saying is during our lives or during our days, we obviously have two main spaces usually, which is home and work. And then this concept by Oldenburg is all around the third space and what we do with that time. Now we're going to speak a bit about the characteristics of the third space. And generally these are spaces that involve neutral ground, so where people can come and go as they please without feeling any obligation or pressure. It's almost like a leveler, so this space is often inclusive, with kind of, there could be formal criteria as well for membership as well. Conversation is the main activity that takes place in these, conversation and being connected with each other. So the primary purpose is that social interaction and that conversation. This space is usually easy to access and is really accommodating. It might have regular visitors who can help create a welcoming atmosphere and build a sense of community. It's often a place of low profile, so the setting is usually plain, very modest, not overly extravagant. There's a playful mood here, so the mood is light, providing a break from the seriousness of our home and our work. and it's almost like a home away from home. So this space feels comfortable and inviting. I wonder what types of places are coming to mind for you, but definitely for me, some examples of third spaces would be a coffee shop, a park, maybe even a library, some sort of community centres, bars or pubs even, churches or places of worship, and bookstores to name a few. And there's a quote by Ray Oldenburg, and he wrote, "Great good places are the heart of the community's social vitality and the grassroots of their democracy." So he really is emphasizing that these are communal spaces, places where people go to seek connection and to seek community. And I have a question for you. What are your favorite third spaces, and how have they impacted your life? Again, you feel free to click the guest button beside my name to come on and share your story in real time. You also have the option to drop me a DM, or you can obviously continue this conversation in the question section of the app as well. So I just love that example. Like, when I think of a scenario for myself, it is around the coffee shop in my hometown of Killarney. So when I lived in Killarney, I used to work at a yoga studio that there was a coffee shop right next to it. They actually owned a coffee shop at the time. And I used to have a 9 a.m. vinyasa class that I used to do every Thursday. But I used to really love almost the ritual around it. So I wasn't like raced down to my class at 9. But I often got up like earlier in the day and made sure that I was down in the coffee shop for 8. And I can just walking into my favorite local coffee shop. The barista who worked there knew my name and knew my coffee order. I'd see familiar faces, often the same faces at the same time every week. And there was just really a nice buzz and friendly conversation there as well. So this coffee shop isn't just a place to get your caffeine fix, which that was obviously helpful as well. It was also a community hub, a place where I was able to relax, a place where I was able to meet friends and even new people too. And it was also a place where you could feel a sense of belonging. And this really encapsulates the essence of the third space. So in the next section, I do want to just speak about the importance of the third space. We might kind of dive into the role it has for individual well-being and community building. We'll dive into maybe some psychological and social benefits of it as well. So as Ray Oldenburg noted, third places host the regular, voluntary, informal, and happily anticipated gatherings of individuals beyond the realms of home and work. And in his book, he does dive into some of the benefits regarding these spaces. And I'm going to speak to a few of them, which you know. The first one would be just around mental health. Like, the third space provides an escape from other stressors in your life as well, whether it might be from home or from work. And it's offering a place to relax and unwind. Social connections. So they foster interactions, it fosters relationships, and it helps to reduce the feelings of loneliness and isolation, which we've discussed previously here on the podcast. It helps with community engagement. Like, these spaces really do encourage community involvement and help again to foster a sense of belonging. They're very inclusive places. Like, they offer welcoming, it's a very welcoming environment for people of all backgrounds. So if I think of my example of the coffee shop, you might have like your hardcore locals who visit there every single day. But then you might have the people who pop in only on the weekends, maybe with their family. Or you might have people, Killarney in itself is a big tourist town. You might have people from outside of the town coming in and sharing and enjoying the experience. So again, you could use that. Like, imagine if you are visiting a new city and you're kind of wondering where to go, and you wander into this place. You might stumble upon, let's say, maybe like a community center or a food market or something, and it offers just various activities and classes or food in case of the food market. So maybe from here, while you're on holidays, you sit in on a painting class or you sit in on some activity, and you soon find yourself just surrounded by people with similar interests, some local, some not. Like, this third space becomes so important, and it actually allows you to build new friendships and even feel more at home even while you are on a holiday or a vacation. And at this time, I'm just going to pause, and we have Connie, who is coming into the conversation to share her thoughts. Or, Connie, how are you doing? Connie, can you hear me? Hello? All right. Okay, Connie has jumped out. She tried. We got one step closer than we did with our last guest. And again, sometimes there is certain audio issues with, and if you're using like a headphone or sometimes your phone, you need to give it permission to enable the sound to be able to enable your microphone to be able to jump on. But Connie, feel free if you feel you've figured something out to jump back in and try again. But I do have a question for everyone. Have you ever found maybe solace or made significant connections in a specific third space? How did it affect your life? Is it somewhere you still go to today? Or was it a period in time that supported you? Feel free to share your experience with me. And we do have Laverne, who's going to hopefully come into the conversation. My fingers are crossed that we get everything straightened up with the audio and we can hear your thoughts. Laura, hello.
Good morning, Coach Bodge.
Woohoo, we can hear you. How are you doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm not too bad. It is good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I was wondering if you could repeat the last questions, because I would be glad to share my experience, like you said, but I want to make sure I respond to the exact topic. Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was asking about if you've ever maybe found solace in a place or made significant connections in one of these third spaces that we are discussing. And if you did, how did it affect your life? And is this a place you still go to, or was this a moment or a period in like your life that had a positive effect on you?
Great question. Since it's my first time on your live talk, where I am coming on the stage, as far as I can tell, can you remind me what, can you quickly inform me what does third space mean?
I think that's great, because we've increased massively in listener count. So essentially, you have kind of three spaces, and this is by a book by Ray Oldenburg. It's called The Great Good Place. So your first space is going to be your home life. Your second space is going to be your work life. So where you spend the majority of your time. But then you have this third space. And this third space is often like a place where people can go and interact and connect with others. So the examples would be like a coffee shop. It could be a park. It could be a library. It could be a community center. It could be a bar or a pub. It could be a place of worship. It could be a bookshop. So just some place that you gather. And it's not limited to that list that I said. It can go beyond that. But essentially, it's some place that you gather, Laura, to engage in community or connect with a person or persons in your life.
I could pick one specific example of what is a third space for me. I like to promote the Romanian cultural values here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, to the community, where we have a quite diverse community. And since the former Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, has brought a lot of immigrants, military spouses to the area, we have strong communities of different cultures where soldiers have been deployed. To mention just a few, maybe, let's just say Philippines, let's just say Germany, let's say, what would be one more? Never mind. Do you get the point? So we have September, the last weekend in September, we have International Folk Festival, which for me is the highlight of the year for my third space, where I get to contribute to the community by dressing up in my traditional Romanian outfit and representing Romania with my friends at the, it's called the Parade of Nations, is the highlight of the festival on Saturday mornings. And that's my way of contributing to the community, alongside the fact that I have been teaching here for a long time, and I enjoy learning as well from my students with special needs, and the light in their brightness and their originality. So things like that are very meaningful for me, and that's one way to help my community learn more about me, and me learning more about the local community, its diversity, and its beauty.
Yeah, one of the kind of social benefits regarding the third space is around there's community engagement and inclusivity, there's creativity, social connections. Like, it feels like you're not only partaking in those spaces, you're actually driving those spaces as well and contributing really highly.
Yes, definitely.
Do you feel a sense of kind of satisfaction, or I presume you feel a good sense of connection and community building with the people that you are supporting there?
Very much so, because if I wouldn't do it. Matter of fact, I might end up to be the only one representing Romania, because for some strange reason that I'm trying to figure out. Have a great day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Laura. I really appreciate you jumping on, and you got a lot of clap emojis there as well. So I'm sure this community is really, really supportive of the work that you're doing as well. And it does seem really meaningful. I also think, send me a DM or click an emoji if this is correct. Did you say the International Fork Festival? That sounded really exciting. And then the Parade of Nations sounded great too. So yeah, just massive kudos to you and all that you are contributing to your community as well. If the audio kind of gets sorted, sorry, there was a lot of background static. I couldn't hear everything you were saying regarding your last part, but it does sound like it's something that's very meaningful to you as well. And then that's a great example of the third space, right? It is a space where we can go, and it kind of helps us, I wouldn't say provide an escape necessarily from the stresses, but it just offers us a place to contribute in other ways and a place to connect socially, to build community. And even in your case, you mentioned like creativity and collaboration with the festival and the Pride of Nations as well. So kudos to you, and thank you so much for jumping on. And yes, it was the International Folk Festival. Awesome, that's cool. I really like that name as well. My mind went straight to food. Can you tell I'm a small bit hungry? All right, if anyone else does want to contribute and maybe answer those questions about how they found a place that's made a significant difference, feel free to click the guest button and come on. I should add in that there is 100 Vibe coins as well, which Laura will be going your way. And for anyone else who wants to jump in, and we actually do have Jennifer coming into the conversation. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing smashing. What's on your mind?
I'm so glad that I clicked open this podcast today. It's really helped to crystallize some thoughts around some things that are going on in our community. 4 years ago, a friend of mine and myself I was picking up donations from grocery stores that we cooked for our unsheltered community, and we had a lot extra. The stores during the pandemic were still getting used to ordering and people not coming out, and they were very generous. And my friend and I decided to just go downtown to our bus station and cook for whoever came over, the working poor, the people who were food insecure, you know, stresses going on 2020 during the pandemic. He has an enormous grill that he pulls behind his trailer or his truck. It's actually two grills. And we cooked, and I went to an inexpensive grocery store. We cooked the donated meat. I bought some bags of potato chips and inexpensive hot dog buns and water. And about 20 people came over. And we had a great time. And the next week, my friend James said, "Hey, this was fun. Let's go back." Okay. So the next Tuesday we went back and there were about 40 people waiting and we had a wonderful time. And he said to me, they were waiting for us. And I said, yes, that was nice. And he said, well, they're depending on us. We have to go back now. And a little panic set in because you don't know what you're getting with donated foods. And I said, okay. And we went back the next week. Flash forward, we've been doing this for 4 years and 4 years and 3 months.
Wow.
And we serve 250 to 320 people every Tuesday. It has grown organically. Volunteers have come from, I don't even know where some of them come from. And it's an enormous group of people. We cook with food that's donated. We don't know what's going to be donated. And with relationships I built with local grocery stores, we pick up from three grocery stores and I now have three freezers in my garage. And it's a constant cycle of in and out, and it's a lot of work. But back to the question, I started asking people, about 4 months into it, I started asking some of our guests, what did you like today? Because if you liked something, I want to cook it again. And one day, a gentleman looked at me and said, the community. I like the community. He said, I can come here and I forget about everything else. And I should say that we get to know people. We know their names. We know what they like. I know who has problems health-wise. I know who has family wear. And I know who has, in our unsheltered community, who's received housing, who's waiting for housing. During the summer, we get parents and grandparents who bring their children because it's maybe the only or the best meal they're going to have that day. We have the working poor who take two buses to get there and run so that they're on time. And in all of this time, we have missed one Tuesday, and there were hurricane force winds and a mile wide hurricane about 40 minutes south of us. And that is literally the only day we've missed. And I realized that you were talking that it is absolutely a third space. There are people who come and we centered around food. But what's been created is community. We have talked to people about what their needs are. There are people in our unsheltered homeless community and some of our working poor, they have my phone number. They'll call and say, I need this resource. And we've brought vaccine clinics in. We've brought in housing resources, job resources, free phones, mental health people, and they set up tables, voter registration, record expungement, just anything that someone says they need, we seek out a resource and bring it in. It's completely voluntary. The volunteers come on their own accord. Some come every week, some come twice a month. And I don't know how it happens because it's all voluntary. And we don't know what food is coming in and we cook it. And it works every single week. We always have enough food. But the amazing thing is that people look forward to it. You know, everyone forms a line. When any female comes or anyone with children, it doesn't matter if the line is 100 people long, which it can be. They will pass the women and children up to the front with pleasure. Our guests walk around and help clean up afterwards. Everyone, and it's on the street. And the volunteers, we call it Happy Tuesday, and we're a Tuesday family. It's how we refer to ourselves. And really, it is a place where no matter how hard we worked to do it, and it is all day cooking to get ready, it is joyful. And it's a place where everyone just feels good and welcome. And the diversity is incredible. There are people I would never know otherwise. And it really is a third space where people want to come. It's outside. It's low key. And I think it meets all of the criteria you've talked about. And not only is it my third space, I realized that my friend James and I, along with the many volunteers who've now come, have had the privilege of creating this. And it's wonderful.
The amount of reactions I'm seeing pop up as you're talking is absolutely incredible. And I think the reason for it is that you've mentioned a few times about the people coming, like, love it and they get a sense of community. But I think every listener can totally agree that, and you mentioned the word joyful, like, we can actually sense there's like a feeling of joy and almost like pride in the way you're speaking as well. And although I can't see you, like, it's very apparent through the tone of your voice that, yeah, this is something that you love and something that you generally cherish, and it's a space you care about. So that's really, like, this is a really inspiring story. So I appreciate you sharing.
Again, I was so surprised when his name is Chris. Every Tuesday he would come and kind of just, you know, he was getting something to eat coming from work. It was a low paying job. And one day I said, hey, you know, tell me something good about your day. And he would come up with something. Tell me something good about your day. I'd come up with something. And one Tuesday I was a little off. And he walked up to me, got out of line, walked up to me and said, hey, tell me something good about your day. And I just went, wow, you know, this is it. It's right here. It's your question. It's people. And it really is. It's an amazing place.
When the answer, do you know, when it was that, is Chris the same person who, when you asked what is it, and he said community, like, what's so good about this place? Even when you told me, I got like little like shivers going around my neck. Yeah, I can imagine, like, you really described that way, kind of
community space. It was a light bulb, and that it has inspired me and all of us to know people, and when people are homeless or, you know, working poor and struggling, they're not feeling their best, and people don't look them in the eye. And that is something we absolutely do. We look every person in the eye and talk. And there are lots of spontaneous hugs, even amongst strangers. And the people now know each other in the community who know each other. It's a third space, and I'm so grateful to have popped into this talk. It's really helped me to define what I love so much about it.
No, and it's obviously, it's wonderful for you to share. You kind of, you mentioned about you connecting with people like you might not have ever met, and the same goes for this platform, this conversation right now. You know, we wouldn't know your story unless you felt comfortable enough to come on. So really, really appreciate you. And it actually ties in yesterday's podcast, we spoke a bit about acts of service. And there's a quote from Simon Sinek, who's someone I really like. He wrote the book, Start With Why. But he said that the value of our lives is not determined by what we do for ourselves. And the value of our lives is determined by what we do for others. And I just think this underscores like the importance of community. And I think it ties in well with what you're discussing as well. You've obviously gotten great joy from supporting your community, and it goes always, right? The people who you're supporting are getting great joy from what's happening. I'm sure they're supporting you in ways, and you're learning from them in ways too.
Well, in when life has challenges, you know, the father who just had his aortic valve replaced, a father-in-law that was in the hospital yesterday who's in late stage lung cancer, and, you know, mother who doesn't drive, and all of these things that are happening outside of this, this makes everything else easier. It provides such a balance, and it's selfish on my part as well. I get more out of it than I give, and that's, I guess, just the nature of it.
Yeah, and we spoke about that actually yesterday too, but it's important. That's important too, and I don't think it is being selfish. Like, you have to be able to look after yourself and fill your cup before you can even try and support others as well. So it's really, yeah, really inspiring to hear that you are getting so much out of it, and the fact you've done it for this period of time, and as I said, the fact there's such enthusiasm in your voice as well shows that it's something close to you.
But thank you for letting me share. I really appreciate the podcast I've listened to so far. I'm relatively new to the Noom vibe and just enjoying it.
Yeah, delighted you're enjoying it. If you do have any questions or anything regarding it, feel free to drop myself or any other Noom coaches a DM. We'd be happy to help you. But Jennifer, an absolute honor to get to meet you and talk to you this morning. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and thank you.
All right. This is a keen example, and this happened yesterday as well. Why I love this platform. It's why I love what I do, and it's why, kind of in my statement, for those of you who jumped in super early on, you know, I kind of just mentioned about what this podcast series is supposed to do. And in one part, I say that I really do believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and that we can learn from each other, which can enhance our lives and the people we're speaking with, but also strengthen our communities as well. And I think that's like a living, breathing example of what just happened. So thank you so much, Jennifer. I really appreciate you jumping on and sharing that story. And if anyone else does have anything they'd like to contribute, I think this is really where the heart and the meat of the conversation lies. So feel free to jump on. Don't be shy. There'll be 100 Vibe coins going your way as well as a slight incentive. But I think just the discussion we had is incentive enough for anyone to want to jump on. So if you feel comfortable, feel free to do so. Just a reminder for our audience who have just joined, we're talking about the third space. So essentially you have, we'll say, three spaces. In your life, you have kind of like your family, you have your workspace, and then you have what's known as the third space. So a place where you can go and connect with others. It's usually like a neutral ground. So the examples could be coffee shops, parks, libraries, community centers, to name a few. And it's a coin termed by Ray Oldenburg in his book, The Great Good Place. But interestingly, I know the spaces are, the home is the first space, work is the second, and then you have this third space. I need to double check when this book was written, because it actually is funny with the way stuff has happened probably post-COVID. There's like a blur sometimes between the work and home and social spaces. And that's where I want to take this conversation to next, is just a brief discussion around maybe the role of the third space in what we can coin a digital age. So I just want to talk about maybe like online third spaces and their potential impact, and maybe some advantages and disadvantages, and kind of what I spoke to, like what might the impact of COVID-19 have been. And I just think with the rise of the internet and digital communication, the concept of the third space has evolved. So there's online platforms now serve as a virtual third space where people can connect, share, and build communities. And we touched on this a little bit in our podcast yesterday, but there are obviously some advantages of that are kind of what we're doing right now, right? People can join from anywhere in the world. Like there's people listening to me and me listening to people here that I might not have had access to if we're only in like a real life space outside of the online and virtual. It also allows for flexibility. You know, participation can happen at any time, like fitting into various schedules. If you think of online platforms, maybe someone is listening to a recording of this podcast at a time that suits them as well. So it does allow for that flexibility. And there's also just vast amount of resources that people can get at their fingertips as well. And it really is a great ground for information and learning. Obviously, some of maybe the disadvantages with the online space, I do feel there is something in a lack of physical interaction. I think there is just some sort of benefit of being face-to-face or having face-to-face contact with one another. Another could be around superficial connections. And some relationships may lack depth online. If I think about maybe your social medias, maybe you have so many friends on a social media platform, maybe a few thousand friends. But how many of those, if you were in a crisis or a difficult situation, might you pick up the phone to? There's also digital overload, which I spoke yesterday, and something that I do suffer from time to time, having too much screen time, especially if your work life as well, like, means you're on a computer for most of the day. That happens to me. Sometimes I just max out and have to put all technology just away for the day or the evening. Also, I suppose it's good to note regarding online spaces too, it can be hard to know what might be true or not, and that in particular, I think goes for some health fields, given that our topics are mostly health here, like things around nutrition and exercise. It can be hard to discern and know what's right from what's maybe wrong, or what was good and now there's new science. Oh, there's so much going on. It's hard to to kind of figure out what is the right thing in those spaces sometimes. And then obviously we might have some potential risks of privacy concerns when it comes to online platforms in general too. And just maybe a few questions again, if you do want to come on and just share an experience about what you've had with the third space. Maybe you've had a positive or negative experience in an online space. Like, how do they compare to the physical third spaces for you two? Then we had a guest on yesterday who was kind of sharing that they made a really, really valid point about kind of they used to post online and sometimes they'd get comments to that. But then they realized after a while, the people who are actually commenting only see a profile picture. They don't actually know who I am. They might take what I'm trying to say out of context, and it can be really easy to like engage with those people, especially if they're negative comments. We might suffer from something known as negativity bias, where like those comments will ruminate. We could get 100 good ones, but one negative, and that will just ruminate on your mind, and kind of depending on the comment, could infuriate you. But I do think it's important to try and not engage in those spaces, and that's something that our guests did, that they said once they make a post, they don't look at it again, and they found little communities within the social or the online platform that kind of met more of their needs or were more were better spaces for them and more intimate spaces where they could have a deeper conversation and connection with people too. So it is important to have social responsibility, I suppose, when you are online as well, and trying to find your third spaces online can be quite tricky. But what I think is happened was COVID-19 really did impact this space, because it impacted our ability to gather in physical third spaces. I don't know about everyone's experience here. I know it varied depending on where you lived, but I can share my experience being in Ireland. Like, we had probably the strictest, if you want to call it, it was a lockdown, the strictest lockdown in Europe. There was a point you couldn't move 2 kilometers from your house. There was police or guards kind of watching, and like if the park was 2 kilometers from you, you know, you were questioned if you had to drive to a relative's house and it was outside that 2 kilometers, you know, you were questioned. So what it really did, everything was pretty much closed. Coffee shops, which we were saying is an example of third spaces, and as a result many people turned to online platforms to try and maintain. I think it was, like an innate ability in us, like we wanted to maintain this social connection. So things like virtual meetings. I don't know if anyone here did the virtual game night. We used to do that, or virtual kind of getting together and kind of chatting, having, if you're having a few drinks or if you're just chilling, like all those things happened, right? And I think that was people without even realizing that there's a social gap that we naturally need to fill. Like, we are really, really social beings, and we might have even been so conscious as to why we were doing it, but there was a big gap there that we were trying to fill. So yeah, there was those virtual meetings. Many people, even myself, now that I'm even thinking about it, like online classes, I started doing them. I got a load of, is it Udemy? I started looking at those. And then, just engaging in other digital communications, they became really, really important for people to be connected. I always remember, it was funny, I've been working fully remote and online for years. So prior to COVID, I think around like 2016, 17. And we've always used Zoom. We're actually one of the earlier adopters of Zoom, believe it or not. But I always remember my sister coming to me when the pandemic kind of started. And she's like, oh, I'm meeting my friends online. Have you heard of this thing? It's called Zoom. And I just kind of laughed as her. Yeah, kind of heard of it. Been using it for 4 years now. But it's just funny that instant, like even the second it started, people realize, okay, we have to stay connected somehow. And they turn to virtual settings, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not speaking about them in a negative light. It's like super positive. Like, what a great way to try stay connected. Can you imagine if we didn't have that? There would just be like so much isolation and loneliness as well. I think COVID-19, I wouldn't say it caused kind of the navigation to a lot of third spaces to be online, but I think it definitely accelerated it, and people realized the kind of importance. And now I think it's kind of continuing on more than ever. Do you know, we have a lot of stuff regarding AI coming in. I can envision a time where we can put on like virtual reality headset and I'll actually be virtually in a room with some, like I could just see all that happening. You know, I could see doing meetings through virtual headsets, but you're physically there, but you're not physically there at all. It's, I think it's going to get wild. As I said with the COVID-19 examples, you know, I think we were maybe kind of conscious that we needed to connect, but I don't think we realized like the deep psychological stuff that was going on with us in terms of like our sheer desire and more of our need to connect. You know, I think when we were thinking about how do I try to keep myself healthy, we might have been looking at aspects like, okay, I need to exercise, I need to eat right. But then at the same time, we were creating all these online social connections without going, okay, I need to eat right, I need to exercise. Oh, I need to set up these online social connections as well to combat loneliness and anxiety. Like I didn't think that. I just kind of thought about the food and exercise bit, and the social bit actually happened organically, which is just showing how deeply enrooted it is for us too. Next up as well, we have Coach Evan coming into the conversation. Really excited to get you on. How are you doing?
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. How's it going?
I love this conversation, and I've never jumped in, so I thought, well, maybe I'll do it today.
Woo-hoo.
You made me think of so many things, but first of all, I love the story that the lady shared about her community and what she's built. That's so great. I could talk for hours on that, but the one that you were just speaking about COVID-19 and building those communities and the online space, and I live in Texas, in New Braunfels, Texas, which is you know, in between San Antonio and Austin, and we're like live music capital, right? We have so many live musicians that live here, and they build their life for, I mean, that's their life. That's their livelihood, is being a musician. And so when COVID hit, it was like, oh no, bars are closed, we're not doing concerts, you know, all the things stopped. And so in those moments, like there, livelihood was cut off, and not only for the like lead singer, but for the band, the crew, you know, there was a responsibility that these musicians felt, like my drummer might not be able to feed his family, you know? And so, it was really cool how, during that time they came together and created this online space, on Facebook, and it was called Sequestered Songwriters on Monday nights. And they would be in their homes, and like one musician would sing a song, and then they would like jump it to the next musician in their home. And my husband and I literally like would wait for Monday night to watch Sequestered Songwriters. We'd cast it on TV, and it was like we were in a home concert, but we were connecting with these musicians. We were able to pay them because they had an online tip jar, and it was just like the coolest thing. And so when COVID was over, we were kind of sad because they were going back to their regular gigs, which was awesome. But it was a really cool space that was built, and where people connected. And not only did you get to enjoy their music, but you also got to see a little piece of them that you might not have seen before, you know? So it was a really cool thing.
I googled it as you were talking, to Sequestered Songwriters. Obviously, I can't, I don't want to turn the sound up while we're having this discussion. But what a great value that online, being able to be online, played in that, right? Because there's kind of like, I don't want to go too deep into a theory, but there's a theory called like conservation of resources, and essentially we want to maintain the resources that we have, and when we lose them, we experience things like stress and anxiety, right? So if you think about these people, like there's not just losing something small, like they literally lost their livelihood, like the thing that brings them joy. They also lost their income. Like they are massive life changes, and it can be easy to like go into a moment of incredibly high stress. But just the mentality they showed, and kind of the ingenuity to go, right, let's pivot, how can we keep these resources, and they chose the online space. That's really special.
And they also learned that, wow, people will support us. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, here we're doing this as like, let's just kind of, like you said, pivot and see what comes of it. And then folks started saying, well, you're doing this for us, we're enjoying it, so we need to pay you so you can help keep food on your table so your crew member doesn't have to like figure out something, you know? And so while it was still tough, but they were able to sell their merchandise, they were able to, you know, market their albums and all kinds of stuff. So there was ways that you could continue to support. And then all the while we're like, who's going to be on this week? You know, like super excited to watch. And it kind of became a part of our weekly routine because we enjoyed it so much. And so that was, it was just a super cool way that they built community. And then they probably, you know, a lot of these musicians built a fan base that they might not have ever had without that, because somebody went on to watch one of the other artists, but yet they were able to be introduced to someone else. So it was a really cool.
That is cool. And isn't it amazing too, how during difficult moments, I think that's when people might tend to flourish and even lean more heavily on community, like you did there, you know, like supporting them during a difficult time.
Absolutely. It was great. And you kind of feel like you knew them personal, because even though it wasn't personal, it was like they let you into their home, you know, so in a virtual way. So it was really cool. But I just love this conversation about community and building communities. And I hope it continues, because there's so many things that I could share. I personally do a flag football league in the fall with our high school varsity American football team. And it has become a community that we've built for the community, but it's become my space and I absolutely love it. And I'll share about that another time, because there's so much more than just, you know, it could go on forever, but that's something that's like my, you know, my labor of love. And so it just makes me happy to hear about everybody else's story too.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. We'll have to get you on to share more about that space as well, and other ways that people can contribute to community building.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Podge. It's so good to talk to you, and I love being a part of this with you. So have a great day, and hope to chat again soon.
Likewise, Evan. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your thoughts and giving a really, really good example about what it is, like even during COVID and kind of like the online third space, how it is something, if done right, can be really, really fruitful and still very beneficial, and something we probably shouldn't ignore, because the way the world is kind of gravitating, the way technology is enhancing as well. And then just to, well, tie in that, but also kind of go back to what Daryl is saying, which is quite fascinating, about how maybe people with the same truck or the same car kind of tend to be more inclined to salute each other. And I suppose there's kind of deep psychological roots involved there too, right? Something known as social identity theory, just that like a person's sense of who they are can be kind of based on their group memberships as well. And I think by seeing someone with the same car as you, or by both engaging in a hike together or kind of doing similar things, like that creates that kind of sense of that bond as well. And also regarding the waving too, there is you can't really negate some cultural factors. Like I know definitely in Ireland, kind of walking past people saying hello is kind of pretty commonplace too. So there is some cultural factors when it comes into it as well. And we are going to have the wonderful Jennifer coming back into the conversation. Hello, welcome back.
I'm so sorry, I accidentally hit the button.
Jennifer, it doesn't matter. It's just good to have you here and chat to you again. But no worries, it can happen.
I don't think that would have happened without COVID. So it was offshoot. But anyway, I apologize. I want to give other people time.
No worries. Thank you so much, Jennifer, and enjoy the rest of your day. All right. Sometimes it happens, Jennifer, you were still getting claps, so your story is going to continue to inspire people here. So yeah, no worries at all. And I've done that myself, right? I've accidentally clicked the guest button, and I was wondering, how do I unclick the guest button? But no worries. Yeah, so just kind of going back to, there is some cultural kind of factors as well that come into play in terms of the example of like, yeah, people waving at each other with the same car, or even just waving with people on the street too. All right, what an unbelievable conversation that we are having today. If you are kind of just joined in or just starting to listen, we're just talking all about the third space. So essentially, we have our workspace, we have our home space, which our home space is our first space, I don't know, was that a Freudian slip? I said work before home, but I change it. Home is your first space, work is your second space. And then you have something known as the third space, which Ray Oldenburg coined in the book, The Great Good Place. And it's just a place where you go to be communal and really to connect with others. So the examples are the coffee shop, a park, a library, community center, a bar, a pub, a place of worship, or even a bookshop, to name a few. So we've had discussions, we've had some wonderful guests. I mean, I would very much encourage you to go back and listen to this episode again once we finish up here. Some really, really inspiring conversation that's been happening today. I do want to just begin to wind down the conversation. I suppose we can just spend a bit of time on how we can maybe look to create or look to sustain a third space before I leave you with maybe a few kind of closing remarks as well. So I think when it comes to creating some, or finding the third space for you, more so that you don't have to create it, you can actually walk into a space as well and engage, like finding or trying to identify maybe common interests. So, and it can be something very, very loose. You know, my one, when I was doing my yoga class at 9, I like coffee. I'm going to go to a coffee shop. Like, it can be that simple. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, crazy deep. But trying to focus on some shared interest or activity that can bring people together and bring you together with some people. Jennifer gave a pretty inspiring story regarding like the support she's giving the community. Evan gave an example of what she's doing with the Football League as well. And then when you are there, it is important to continue to foster a welcome environment, you know, ensure that the space is inclusive and welcome to all. It could be good, and I'm sure a lot of people, when they are speaking about their third space, it's a regular event. Like, it's some place that you go to on a regular occurrence. Could be daily, could be weekly, could be bi-weekly, monthly, whatever it is. But having it as a regular event can establish it as a third space. And then within that, I think just recognizing and celebrating that space from time to time. Do you know, maybe it reflect on and think to yourself about like the contributions that space is making to your life and maybe to the community at large too. So before I do just finish up, I do want to leave you with a few closing remarks and a few key takeaways from today's conversation. And then I will jump into a small bit of logisticals when it comes to what to expect over the coming few days when it comes to Noom Vibe and perhaps other talks that you can look to join as well. So when we're talking about our key takeaways, I want to leave you with maybe three. The first is that third spaces are really, really important. Like, they provide a vital kind of social environment that enhance an individual well-being and help to foster community. And you need to find something that works for you. And it can be an online space as well. It doesn't have to be limited to just in person, given your circumstances. And then the importance of building successful third spaces is point number two. Continue to make it an inclusive space where there's regular engagement and it's a supportive environment. Like, these are all really important, I think, for having and creating a valuable third space. I suppose the third point I can speak about is there might be challenges regarding the third spaces, but there is ways that you can overcome them and continue to like engage in clear communication within these spaces as well. I do want to just try and find a bit of a calendar to kind of discuss with you the talks that will be taking place later on today or even throughout the week. And I myself actually will be back very, very shortly, because I do have a guest at 10 a.m. Eastern time or 3 p.m. my time. So believe it or not, a little under an hour. I did anticipate this conversation to be a shorter one, but I think just the unbelievable engagement that we had, and it is such a meaningful topic. I kind of secretly knew that was probably never going to be the case. So I'll be back in less than an hour with a wonderful guest who I'm excited to have you all meet. Also, we have Coach Doris, who is usually live 3 p.m. Eastern Time daily, Monday to Friday. She speaks on all things health and wellness, especially as we age. And she's really, really passionate about letting food be thy medicine. So she speaks about all things to do with healing and aging and maintaining divine health as we age. You also have Coach Adrian, who is on every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday to Friday, and deals with a host of topics such as like a Monday mashup. Tuesday is all things food. Wednesday is about aging and your inner athlete. Thursday is about thankfulness Thursday and gratitude. And then Friday is the Fitness Friday fundamental. So really, really exciting weekly schedule from Coach Adrian. And then you have Coach Dana as well, who's live later on in the evening, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and dives into obstacles to behavior change. And she really, really loves to celebrate the small wins. That's just a few of many. There's a host of conversations going on. I can't swipe right or left because I think it might kick me out of my own conversation or my own podcast, but I'm sure there's other live talks going on as we speak too. That's all for me for today, folks. I'd just like to thank you so much for jumping in. Thank you to all our wonderful guests for engaging in a really, really meaningful conversation. Just encourage you to go forward, to continue to building out your communities and having a positive impact in the world. Thank you so much for joining this episode of the podcast, and I will realistically and genuinely talk to you again soon in about 55 minutes. All right, take care, folks. Thanks.